G'day punters, welcome to Three Wide No Cover, another big week of racing. We're going to go Melbourne and Sydney this week. Very excited to be here as always. I'm Mick Wall, joined by Julian Vance and Simon Marshall. Gentlemen, how are we feeling?
Feeling very good. Ripping day, very good last week, and we get into Flemington now. Building up to Super Saturday, but Australian Guineas Day, the three-year-olds over 1,600 metres get their chance. And look, it was tough doing the form, I thought, SD, but it's always enjoyable at the end of it, I suppose.
Yeah, you can never find peace until you find all the pieces.
That's very good, very good.
Today we're hoping to do that, folks. It's a jigsaw puzzle, this meeting on the weekend, but here at Three Wide No Cover, we're going to help you just place all that together.
There you go. And I will say this, nice of Julian to delve into a little bit of inspiration, I'm assuming from RBT or something for that Adidas top there, Julesy.
It's actually Highway Patrol, actually.
It was one of them.
There was a character that got into a bit of mischief and got into a bit of trouble. But so I've got that two-piece tracksuit. So
I don't want to wear it. Very good, Julesy.
A lot of pockets, which I find... There's no doubt why I know he needed something like that with lots of pockets.
Did you get hit up quite often by the locals walking the streets in Melbourne with that?
Yeah, it can happen. It's an interesting...
It's a great number, Julesy. All right, we're coming off a cracking weekend of racing. Obviously, Blue Diamond Stakes Day, three Group Ones. It's always a great day. However, it's been a lot of talk around the track. Julesy, we'll start with USD. Keen to get your thoughts as well. Are we talking about something here?
Last week,
the track Saturday at Caulfield. Was it good enough, or is it something that maybe was below par?
Yeah, I think it was below par, and I think the issue here is the policy that RVL put in place, and I just don't agree with it, that clearly they are hamstringing track managers to get it to, you know, worst side of good so then they can eventually get to an upgrade. On our times, the tracks probably started as a soft five, got to a good four at the end. I know they've upgraded after race six, but the inside clearly was off, lanes one and two, and which was identified on Insider Trading. So,
100% it was.
You know, you got to push towards that sort of stuff and make sure you watch that show, but it gets there. But I did hear from a few punters out there sort of saying, well, the turnover was year on year up. We can't use that year on year metric and justify that that's where the punters are going. But with COVID, so I'll quickly go through. Guineas Day, up 19%. Caulfield Cup Day, so I'm just using Caulfield here, up 32%. Zipping Classic Day, up 36%. Or Stakes Day, up 14%. And then Diamond Day, up 36%. They're all up because of COVID. So heaven forbid, when COVID ends, which will be great, the metric on year is going to be down. Mm. So you won't be able to use that excuse that the punters were there. We did study on this for the last 8 years since I've been on the trading floor. The professional punters, turnover is down when a track is like that on Saturday. That's just proof that they don't want to play in those kinds of days. It's too many variables. It's a concern. And the other thing for these professional punters as well, and also punters out there, is taking the form the next start. Do you trust it? They want the hard, dry tracks that they can trust and they believe in. And that's what you'll see on Saturday when you've got that Flemington form from 2 weeks ago, the CS Hayes. They'll trust that form. I don't know if they'll trust this form from last week. The RVL policy is a concern.
And Julesy, and let's be honest, it's not just the weight of money. If your pro punters in Sydney is one that aren't playing as well, that also affects how the market's driven and how other people follow the market. There's a whole number of factors. SD, you've got a slightly different take on this, though.
Yeah, well, it's their money and they can choose to either have a bet or not, the pro punters, and it's smart if you want to hold your powder if you don't have a lot of confidence in a track where natural elements on the day. It did rain throughout the day as well. We got bits of rain. It was quite humid. The early reports, as you mentioned, on Insider Trading, Julesy, were correct. The fence to two off were no good. 3-10 was the place to stay. Early doors, it was quite clear from race one, two and three onwards that jockeys knew that and they rode away. So tick. I want to see the actual proof about the track not being quite right when we knew all the intel going into the race. And the reason for that is, Ole Kirk, 750 out to 850. He drifted from his inside barrier. We knew how the track was playing by then. He wasn't a popular horse, but hang on a minute. There's a big question around the three-year-olds, in my opinion, this time of the year. He did beat home Crosshaven, who he beat home in a Caulfield Guineas. Has that form stood up? Well, that's yet to be explained in the autumn. And another thing, too, is that it's a better track. on Saturday than it was last year when it was 1-2 lanes, and there was no confidence whatsoever. So for the track managers out there and the natural elements, it is what it is. It's play on to me. We sort of knew it before we went into the meeting.
We did, and thankfully we do get the track walker stuff, so I agree with that. I will say, on Ore Stakes Day, which was only 3 weeks ago, Jason also put 6 mils of irrigation on Saturday morning, and it raced sensationally. So the weather didn't help him last week, but it's the policy in place that's not helping him because he's having to put the irrigation on, and then it doesn't work out when the weather doesn't go your way. But the policy in place is the issue. Give me hard dry decks every step of the way. They run straight. Best horses usually win the race.
Well, all this talk about tracks, Julesy, let's get into your track report for this weekend.
Yeah, it's a good point, Wally. Good segue into that. Okay, let's go Flemington. Out 2 metres. Good for, really important here, 20 to 30 kilometre southerly wind. Now, that is, we get the southerly there, that's actually going to be a tailwind in that, more or less, you can see the 1,400 metre shoot there, and then it's just that sweeping turn. That's a tailwind for them. Now, this is exactly what the wind was CS Hayes 2 weeks ago and the Vanity, and they were running outstandingly quick times during that. I expect the same. There'll be an upgrade at some stage throughout the day, I think. Barrier positions, 1,000 to 1,200 metres. We know this is up the straight. Look, this is 8 years of information. I reckon if you can drill down even into the last 18 months, middle to outside are a clear advantage. Middle there is the one where you're a positive on your ROI. But it just seems when the rail's in this sort of true to out, probably 4 max, middle to outside is the places to be. That southerly wind, I think, will obviously be coming across them in the straight, and I think that'll help as well for middle to outside gate. So I think that's where the market will trend towards. Here's the circle races. Look, we know the leaders, the Australian average is 21%. 12% here, but it just shows in terms of win strike rate, you can win from anywhere.
Yeah.
Even the ROI off midfield, it is in the positive of 17%. Yeah, backmarkers is a low percentage play, but that's going to be a low percentage play every day of the week. It's going to play very, very fairly, I think, this track, as it has for a prolonged period of time. Ripping track. Hopefully they don't put too much water on. We get a dry deck. It gets upgraded throughout the day. Best horses win. Fastest horses win. If that means you have to be on speed, get on speed. That's how it should be.
Up and about, Julesy. I love it. All right, jockeys and trainers are on fire. We cover these off every week. Julesy, we'll start with jockeys and no guesses who's first. Cab off the rank.
Jay Carr, of course. 23 from her last 90, going at 26%. Market expectation, 21.5%. You can just lock her in there probably from the end of time, the way she is riding. Billy Egan, 5 from his last 18, so 28%. Market expectation around 19.5%. So Billy doesn't get a lot of rides. Obviously rides a lot for Patrick Payne, but he's taking his opportunities. I thought his ride on Defibrillate last week when it was on a shorty price favourite, he got going a little bit earlier than probably he can in the past. He got going at that 800, 600 metres and made it a foregone conclusion. Very good band, foregone conclusion, by the
very
way.
Very good band.
Wally. So he's riding really well, Billy Egan. And then we can go into some trainers and Team Friedman. They're just a camp that deliver when it counts the most, I think, SD. 10 from 37 equal 27%. Market expectation around 19-20% in the metro.
Yep.
They're rippers for getting their horses to peak when they need to.
And the balance between Pinecliff and also Caulfield is terrific. Like Blue Diamond Stakes winner Artoria straight out in the paddock for a week to get ready for a Golden Slipper now, where he's just got grass up to his knees and then he goes back into an environment like Flemington. So they've got that mix beautiful.
Yep, they're a big camp. Here's a camp that's not big, Nick Ryan, boutique stable, but he's just placing his horses so well. And the stats back that up. 6 from 14 going at 43%. The market expectation is 32%. So the market's gravitating towards him, but he's still exceeding it. He is just a really good young trainer, placing his horses really well. We've seen that with Regards Marie over the last couple of weeks. Pete Moody, 9 from 31, 29% versus 21%. And then in Metro, he's 6 from 21 at 29%. Market expectation around 20.5%. He's going really well as well, Pete Moody. You can follow him with confidence. We saw it last week with Oxley Road. So you've got big camps, you've got little camps, you've got jockeys that are riding lots and jockeys that are not riding too much. But They're the ones that are ones you can follow, I think.
Big shout out to Gary Ayres there. A little bit of challenge in Gary Ayres, your big camps, your small camps, your boutique camps.
One of the greats, Gary. Dual Norm Smith medalist, only the best get them, SD. Now, worth saying as well with these, the Freedman Camp, Ryan Moody, these have been names we've been hearing a bit of lately, so, and Jamie Carr, of course. So there is some consistency, definitely worth following these jockeys and trainers. Julesy, we're going to talk about one more jockey now. You want to talk about Luke Curry?
Yeah, well, it's one group one, obviously, at Flemington. I want to talk about Luke Curry, who's going to be riding Tagaloa. So drill down into his stats, and here we have them. 10 from 44, going at 23%. Nailing market expectation to 16%. You drill down further into that, metro only. So when it's big, you know, these are the bigger races, obviously, when you're on the big stage. 6 from 21 at 29% versus market expectation around 17%. And now I really drill down into rides under $4, because that's what Tagaloa is just about going to be, under $4. 5 from his last 9 at 56%. Exceeding market expectation clearly there. And then 3 from 4 at 75% in the metro. Again, smashing market expectation. Do not be worried about Luke Curry riding a horse under $4 in the Australian Guineas on Saturday, punters, because he is delivering.
Very, very good, Julian. I'll tell you what, that was comprehensive. Speaking of Tagaloa, we're going to have Tagaloa's ride and plenty of others. Group 1 racing after the break. Welcome back to Three Wide, No Cover. Let's get stuck into Group 1 racing. We're going to start at Flemington, of course, with the Australian Guineas. Tagaloa, a $3.90 favourite. There's already been discussion around it. There'll be more throughout the show. Zoo Dancers, $5. Acer at $8. Olay Kirk at $8.50. Dom to Shoot is $11. Poland, $12. Cherry Tortoni, $14. Camborne, $18. Jet Propulsion, $30-1. Over the page, Julesy, because this race is a full card here. Here to Shock at $30-1 is the best of the rest. Mate, we start with the map. Very intriguing race, this one.
Yeah, absolutely. Big field, so it should be. They're all racing for a pretty big prize here for the three-year-olds. SD's going to go through this in martial law, but I think there's going to be enough speed. Now, really crucial horse is Lofty Star. It's an emergency at the moment, but if it can get into the field from that gate 13, it'll roll forward, so it'll import more speed into this race. But outside of that, Zoo Dancer rolls forward. Acer definitely rolls forward. I think Luna Fox with the blinkers first time will roll forward. And then you've got Tagaloa. He rolls forward. Here to Shock, I thought, probably would try and lead, but there is a bit of mail suggesting that they might try and take a sit on this horse. So maybe a little bit different to last start. And then you've got Poland, I think, he rolls forward as well, coming out of that fast run race. Look, here's a filly, Zoo Dancer, winning. Again, SD's going to drill down into Zoo Dancer a little bit later, but she was outstanding in this race, sat on speed, outside leader, and absolutely made Personal, who's obviously won the VRC Oaks back in the spring, like pedestrian. That's how good she was. 1 second inside standard time. Spoke about it in the track report that this is a very similar track setup to how it's going to be on that day with the southerly wind. They're going to run really quick times. When they run really quick times on a dry track, you need to be in the first 4 or 5, especially around this circle, I reckon, at the 1,600 metre mark. And I just think Zoo Dancer is going to be in the gun spot. Look, Tagaloa and Zoo Dancer are the two that I've marked, the only two that I've marked in single figures. I think they clear out from the rest. I think they'll absolutely panel the rest, but I'm going with the filly Zoo Dancer, just at the price. I've marked Tagaloa bang on around that $4. He can clearly win the race. He repeats his performance in the CSA. He's going to be mighty hard to beat.
Same track and trip, gallop out, lead-up race, 1,400, ran quicker time, significantly quicker time than Zoo Dancer, and both of them profiled to sit on speed. So it's a battle between those two to get that spot early.
Absolutely, because I think it's crucial, because Tagaloa may end up being 3 wide, which with this southerly wind, and I know it's a sweeping turn and you're covering more ground, but with the tailwind behind you, I don't think it's too big of a disadvantage. You'd probably know better than me, SD, because you've ridden that distance a lot. But I don't think that's a huge disadvantage, being out there when you've got the wind not in your face, actually behind you a little bit.
Yeah, 100%. And it's been proven throughout time that you can sit 3 deep as long as your horse is in a nice rhythm and not panic. Zoo Dancer drawn 8, Tagaloa drawn 10. More pressure on Zoo Dancer, I would have thought. Now, she had it nice and soft there, was entitled to kick, but Tagaloa breathing down her neck on a working gallop. It's going to be interesting. That battle of tactics, early doors for those two. Will that set up for an on speed runner, Julesy?
I think it will. I just think they're better than the rest. If you look at that Tagaloa race, Those ones behind it, yeah, they ran really well, but they were still 3-4 lengths behind him. Now, he's got to repeat it again.
Yep.
Tagaloa has to do it again. That's the big question if you like Tagaloa. Yep. Can you trust him to do it again? If he does it again, he's the winner, but that's the key factor for the punter.
It's only 3 horses in the race that have won at the Mile Embolism, and we're looking at Cherry Tall Tony and Ole Kirk in the race this year. Now, you like to see horses that are proven around the distance running into this race, one would have thought, but have the potential and the scope. Tagaloa and Zoodancer read that fit that mould, I should say, because their gallops out in their lead-up wins. It's an interesting tale for Zoodancer because the fillies, Mystic Journey, Machine, Sham Rocker, and also Miss Finland. They were all outstanding fillies to win it, so she's going to go to another level if she's going to happen to beat them. We know Alligator Blood, Grunt and Haydock have won this race, 2 outstanding 3-year-olds. So it's a 2-race play for me, I would have thought. I'm not going to give up on Ole Kirk because he's turned a foot and he's a proven miler. He Group 1 winner, Caulfield Guineas at the Mile. He's good enough for mine. He wasn't in the right place at Caulfield. They didn't knock him around in the Group 1 race there on the weekend, so the Futurity. So he backs up. Team Hawks don't just back horses up. Apparently he was on their radar, just in case. He's in, and he's $11 to get back 3 deep. That wall of cover that we're talking about when I go through speed maps, that's the key for me. But the horse that was the eye-catcher behind Tagaloa, that has the scope and the potential and he's placed over the mile, is Dom to Shoot, the WA horse. Craig Williams had to go neutral negative out of the gates at Flemington and he gave away ground early doors. He's drawn better. He's drawn mid to low and he can sit 2 to 3 pairs closer if Dom to Shoot wants to, and he's really good value as well. So it's a 2-race play for me.
Very good. All right, let's have a look up in Sydney now. We're going to have a look at the Chipping Norton. Very Elegant is your favourite at $2.60. Collett at $3.20. Colding, $4.60. Jumping out in odds, understandably, from there. Funstar's $12. Master of Wine, $13. Avilius at $16. Toffee Tongue, 30-1. Southern France and Princess Farwas, both 80-1. Julesy.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Matt, I don't think a lot of speed on paper for this map. Prince Farwas, I think Colding can sit outside leader. Funstar holds a spot. Really interesting to see what they do with Collett. Now, last start, they pushed this horse forward, and that got the advantage over Very Elegant. They've got a bit of a really tricky gate for Collett. I want them to push forward again because I think this is where this race is won and lost, especially when you're in comparison to Very Elegant. If he can get a pair in front of Very Elegant, then I think he can win again, Collett, but that's really important. If they decided to be negative and end up behind Very Elegant, I think they're in a bit of trouble. They're the two clear top picks, Very Elegant and Collett, but I'm just going with Collett just for the fact that, geez, she's a really good wet tracker. Now, we know Very Elegant's a very good wet tracker as well. She's outstanding. She won a Caulfield Cup, a Tancred, ran second to a Dabe in a Queen Elizabeth on really wet track. So we all know that, but Collett, 4 goes on wet tracks, last start won a Gold Eagle, won the Oaks and won Adrian Knox. And she's going to get a wet track again. So at the moment it's a soft 5, soft 6, but rain's expected over the next couple of days. So expect it to be rain affected this track as well on Saturday. It brings Very Elegant and Collett. I marked them pretty well similar in prices. So for me, there's a slight edge in Collett at the prices at the moment. I reckon it's going to be a great race. I think those two are standouts. Colding's a really good horse and he'll be in front of them on the map. I just think he prefers a drier track. If this track was dry, I'd be mad keen on Colding because he's third up and he won a George Main. But I think the wet track brings in Collett for me.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, good call, Julesy. He won the George Main third up last time. He's had seconds both of his runs on return and he controls a hot speed here. So what it does set up beautifully, though, Funstar won't be running in Melbourne. She'll be staying in Sydney to run in this race. So she's in at about a 12-1 pop. She's an interesting runner that can roll forward and sit outside of Colding. But it does set up for the class runners. It was good to see Collett resume. She was 3.5 lengths off that George Main last year, but she's improved this year. She's come back a better horse, which we wanted to see because the year she won the Oaks was absolutely outstanding and a lead-up runs in that on soft track. So Collett to sit on speed as well, but she's Very Elegant. She was second in this race, second up last year as well. I liked her first up because they were going to get a wet track, but I just needed to think about it, should have thought about it a little bit more. She's coming off a Melbourne Cup prep after winning a Caulfield Cup this year and should have known that she was going to be better up better off with a run first up. So you never stop learning in this game. It is a soft seven now, just checked on Riser there, Julesy, so it's continuing. And I just think very elegant. She's in a great vein of form. You can trust her. It's just going to set up nicely. She's drawn the right barrier gate four just to float that one off the fence and let them do all the work. She got back in an awkward position. I don't think she's best when she's inside runners like she was first up either.
Yep.
So she gets this, very elegant, stick with the class horse. She's ready to go on and win.
Love hearing that, Estelle. I'm definitely with you. Very excited to see Very Elegant running this weekend, Julesy. All right, let's have a look now at the surround. And Danger Zell's your favourite at $4.80. La Mexicana goes up there at $6.50. Never Talk, $8. Away Game, $9. Montefilia, Hungry Heart, both at the $11 quote. Forbidden Love's $13. Every Rose and Thermosphere at $18. As we head over the page there, Vangelic and Eliza Beale, both at $19. Miraval at $27. Best of the last ones there, Julesy.
Yeah, I think there's enough speed in this race. Vangelic away game. Every Rose rolls forward. Every Rose from that wide gate, I think, definitely goes forward. Dame Giselle can sit in the first four or five. We know that. La Mexicana, I wouldn't be surprised to see them try and roll forward on this horse. Loves a wet track, that horse. La Mexicana, I think the three goes in Victoria on the wet track. Ballarat on debut, Cranbourne and Moonee Valley have been its peak figures. So wet track's going to be no issue for the Victorian horse. We spoke about the Freedy Camp in Metro. They can take that up to Sydney and be very competitive. Love Sensation, Forbidden Love. And then the rest sort of fall in line, I think, from that in terms of the map. Look, tricky race, always is a tricky race, but I sided with Dame Giselle. First up, I thought was really good. Got beaten by Rocking By, who comes down to Melbourne to run in the English Dash up the street at Flemington. Now, Ole Kirk was in that race as well as a short price favourite, and I think he ran third or fourth and ran okay. But this horse, she was pretty good in that race. It went 1 second inside standard time. I think it is a beautiful platform for now 1,400 metres here. I like the gate. Sits in the first four or five. Don't be worried about a soft track. I think it won the Silver Shadow on a soft track. And you go back to its form just purely against three-year-old fillies in the spring. It had four starts. It won three of them and got beaten in, obviously, the 1,600-metre Group 1 race by Montefilia, where just over-raced, didn't work. 1,600 metres, I don't think, sits going. 1,400 metres, its SP was 360, 380, 270 and 280. I just think it's just a bit above them. I don't think there's a huge gap between, you know, a lot of these, but I just think Dame Giselle's a very, very good filly and just about top of the class in terms of these, so I'm happy to be with her.
Could have made a point that she was the best three-year-old up there in Sydney in front of the boys as well, Julesy. So it's a really interesting race, this one, because I love Montefilia as a racehorse. I think she's a natural racehorse, and the wetter it gets, the better she comes into calculations first up over 14, being a two-time Group 1 winner. She's around that $11. Away game, I think will struggle to run the seven furlongs with the track deteriorating, which she's in great form. Hungry Heart, she was a bit plain for me first up, but there wasn't much between Hungry Heart and Dame Giselle. Mm. It came down to tactics a number of times between those two fillies back in spring. And La Mexicana, well, the big key for her is the wet track. But folks, if you're going to do yourself a favour over Sydney, he's back from the UK. Tom Marquand goes on. He is an absolute elite rider. He goes on La Mexicana and he will lift her to another level. So if you like Mexicana, don't jump off because this guy's a freak, Tom Marquand. And then, now, Never Talk. She's stepping up here. Gets back race pattern on the day. If they're running on, she comes into calculation. Yep. She's been the best backed at a price when markets opened.
There you go. And I've got a question here from all punters that have followed the show, and we know how good Jamie Carr is. Jamie Carr has been on our Mexicana for all our Mexicana's rides. Ridden it so well. You're talking about going to another level. Jamie Carr's the rider that gets him to the other level. So we're saying Tom Marquand, we know how good Tom Marquand was when he came over. Do not be worried. We still feel that there's no loss in losing Jamie Carr, and I can't believe we were in saying that. Jamie Carr off, Tom Marquand on, fine.
Yeah, he'll go to another level, Tommy Marquand. Yeah, Prince Far was, I think, in the Group 1, Chipping Norton on there the day. But Adayeb, his rides on that horse, and he's just got the smarts too. He rides Sydney beautifully.
He's world class. He's world class. Yeah. We're very Australian-centric here, and clearly
understood,
we look at
understood.
That. But he is doing it time in, time out on the international stage. He is elite.
And that's a key too. You're saying ride Sydney really well. and rides that way, and that's there you go. No, just for, we talk about Jamie a lot. We're just talking about how Jamie Carr improves horses when she gets on them, and I just wanted to get that take, but good to know.
We've got to go to a break and get a nebulizer.
Yeah, I think we will. We'll get him some...
Something went down the wrong way there.
Oh, of course it did, Julesy. There you go. We'll get him a hot tea or something.
Get off quick.
Hot toddy. All right, we're going to take a break when we come back. Back to Flemington for more racing. Welcome back to Free Wide No Cover. Let's take a look at Flemington now. We're going to have a look at the Bob Hoisted. Favagino is your $3.80 favourite. All Banter is $4.40. Muntasira is $5. Indian Pacific, $5.50. Look, that's the four at the top end of the market, Julesy. We get out a little bit from there. Hummer Hummer, $15. Prezzato is $16. Usmanov at $18. Haydock, $19. Lashes, $23. And then Bonds Away, best the rest, $35.
So we know up the straight that they can sometimes sit up early, but there's some pretty fast horses here, so they might not loaf around. We talk about Fabergino. Indian Pacific comes across from Perth. Going to talk about that a little bit. It's a really nice horse and a fast horse. Loves 1,000 metres. But here's Fabergino now, out by itself. Now, these are the best Group 1 sprinters we've got in Australia. You've got Nature Strip back on the inside. You've got Bivouac, who is a bit disappointing there. And then you've got September Run and Swatstat, the three-year-olds, who are going to be major players in next week's Newmarket. But Fabergino doing it all by itself. And it can be very hard when you're out by yourself, don't have any partners with you. He was a very, very... Well, she was a very big run in that. And, look, it sets up a pretty good profile for a race like this. Now, she's got 59.5 kilos here. She did win this race last year with 57 kilos when she was $3.50 favourite. Very similar in price. She's going to be really hard to beat. You can't absolutely knock her at all. Her performances are very good up the straight. Her 1,000-metre record, I think she's 9 from 14. So, anyway, you cut it. You can't suggest Fabergino's terrible, because this setup for her is ideal.
Just have the one question mark with Fabergino going into this. She's been beautifully placed, and the 4 to 5 week breaks in between her runs have been in her advantage. Why? She races best when she's really, really fresh. Now she's coming off a hard run Lightning, a peak performance in a Group One, and she's got to back up within the 2 weeks. That's the only question mark I have on Fabergino.
And that's a good point, and one that I think you've obviously drilled right down into Fabergino, and that's really good insight for the punters out there, because you will find that her best has been off that sort of spaced stuff that SD mentioned. So maybe, yeah, she will have a flat one here. So it's a good point. I've actually sided with Indian Pacific. So we speak about 1,000-metre races. Well, this horse has had 6 goes at 1,000 metres for 5 wins. He's a really fast horse and a very, very good horse. We know these Perth horses, they race on really dry tracks. I expect this track on Saturday to be very dry. And I reckon going to be mighty competitive, marked at around that $4.85 mark. So I'm happy to have a bet on Indian Pacific to beat Fabergino. I think they're the two in the market that I've sided with. But yeah, look, it was disappointing behind Flirtini last start, but that was in a fast run race, 3/4 of a second inside. But 2 starts before that was pretty good. This is a horse that seems to be a bit of a flat track bully, that if it can get out in front and control its own destiny, it seems to run its best races. And I think that'll suit the straight, because even though you might not be in front, you can still have your own space. A little bit different to around a bend where you're all cluttered up, SD. Yep. And obviously you'd feel that as you're riding. So that's the reason I sided with Indian Pacific.
He's on the way up. He was tested at Group 1 in the Winterbottom level and he failed. He's been very well placed. He's a listed winner over the 1,000 metres, and you're right, he likes to roll along, and he's just an out-and-out genuine sprinter. Just a couple of ticks here. Pressure like this, with these speed horses in the race, the all-banders and the Fabergino's, those type of horses, Muntasira can sit up on speed. More pressure in the straight for the first time. It's the only question mark I have with the WA Raider there in Indian Pacific. The one I settled on is a 3-year-old filly that's in a great battle of form, and that is all-banter. I thought her third win this preparation was outstanding at Caulfield. The time was 57.13. That's fast. That's electric. And she jumps. She can take a sit. She doesn't have to lead. She doesn't have to lead. Craig Williams stays on board. And the team Jolly, Chantel and Richard Jolly, have absolutely got this horse exactly where they want it. They know how to travel the right horse down the straight to win as well. So all banter for me. And that 54 kilos, as I mentioned, 2 from 2, second up she is after that freshen up win. So it lights up. I wouldn't talk you out of backing Muntasira. She's an interesting runner in the race. She's going to have to run a peak performance. She brings that Swatstat form, who beat her, and then she was third in her Lightning. Yeah, can understand that. Lashes, she's dropping back to the 1,000. She's been up a little while. I wouldn't be really keen on her. And I love Haydock. I just love genuine thoroughbreds that know how to gallop. Now, he ran a record here at the Valley in the Manicato. That's dirty work to the left of his shoulder. He ran great. Pippi, Group 1 winners, Group 1 form, tracking, flashing to your left of screen. Now, it's 1,000 metre first up and 63 kilos, but it's the lack of opposition if they're not at their top. He's going to be close enough with 63, and I'm not too worried about big horses like him in sprinters over 1,000 metres. The 63, I'm not worried about that. He's just a genuine horse, and he's going to be close enough on that speed, and he's drawn the right gate to look at them all early doors, and if he's close enough, he could pick them apart, and you're getting each way value.
Yeah, and he's probably in all this, if you actually look at all these horses, he's the genuine Group 1 horse, isn't it? He's been there and done it. Now, we see horses like Fabergino, we saw in the Group 1, can't win those races. Mm. Haydock can, yes. Now, 1,000 metres is not his go.
But then the Moya, Julesy, he drew wide and he had to work. It wasn't ideal for him. But this race sets up a bit better than a Moya.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he wasn't far away.
He's probably going to be, obviously, the target's probably the William Reid 1,200, where he goes really well, 1,200 metres, Mooney Valley.
Yeah.
But if you're thinking, oh, you look at his record and you go 1,000 metres, 3,000, those 3,000-metre runs were all in Group 1s, and he's finished 5th, 7th and 8th. This is not a Group 1. SD might be right here.
Oof, there you go. And at a price too. All right, let's have a look at the last race we're going to dissect on the card, the Blamey Stakes here. Buffalo River, $2.60 favourite. Best of Days, $5. Star of the Seas, $5.50. Mystic Journey, $6.50. Stars, $8. Irish Fame, 30-1. Mirage Dance, $34. Over the page, Julesy, it snuck up on me. Mohamed Ace there at 35. Vacillator 35, Noose Bosque at 40-1.
Yeah, look, Buffalo River can roll forward and control this tempo, I think. I think Mystic Journey might roll forward third up here. Ran a, was two off two plain ones in the spring and then came out and won at Mooney Valley, winning the Group 2 race there. So maybe you can improve. Best of Days rolls forward. Now, here's Best of Days winning last start. Now, this is an extremely slowly run race. Just controlled the race here, Ollie. Really well supported. $3.70 into $3.30. Market identified that it was sort of the fit horse where these other horses were sort of first up. Controlled it. Bit worried that it only came home 23.04, 12 flat, which was only average compared to the rest of the day. We'll probably sit outside leader or be in the first four or five and might run really well. But I was around Best of Days. I was around Buffalo River. I think Buffalo River is going to be mighty hard to beat and hard to get past. Just couldn't get him that short. Settled on Star of the Seas. I think this is a really good horse, and I really love the placement. Only 56 kilos. This is a horse that in four Group 1s has ran second. Two of those in a George Main, ran second in a Winx as well, and then ran second in a Doncaster last year. His best form is clearly good enough to win this race. I love they've brought him down here. He can really perform early on in the prep, so I've got no issues second up. That Sevitiano form's very good. 3/4 of a second inside standard time. I love the platform. Really nice horse. D-Lane in the saddle. I reckon it can just tag her back and be really hard to beat. Star of the Seas for me.
I wouldn't talk you out of him. His first up run, the George Main, was outstanding. Imogen came over, who ran third to him in that race. Colding won that race. We know he's run well at Group 1 level around Caulfield, over 7 furlongs. So, Julesy, he's right in the mix, that is for sure. Irish Flame, you think he'd need to run. Best of Days is drawn a little tricky. You'd think he'd roll forward and sit and try and find a pocket 1 to 2 pairs back. But then, oh, Jesus, let's have a look at the replay. He's a Buffalo Soldier. Here he is, the big fella, Buffalo. I liked him. I liked him on this occasion because he's a horse that just, he, regards Marie, gets up and beats him just, but he carries a 60 kilos first up. This is a really good clean out for him. We know he ran second up in a two-rack handicap, second up in spring, and he carried 53 kilos on that occasion. He only carries 55 here. He's not going to have any pressure on him whatsoever. Jamie Carr's just going to roll out that first furlong and a half, just let him run and get that 2 to 3 lengths on him. And then it's a cuddle, 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 kick at the 500. And if he spaced them 3-4, well, they won't just pick Buffalo River up. I reckon he's an outstanding chance. He's one of the better bets on the weekend.
Very good. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, gentlemen, Marshall Hall.
Go on.
Very excited about that. And also, Julesy may have a stinger for us.
Yes, it's time to giddy up, punters. Welcome back to Three Wide No Cover. It's time for Martial Law. Let's have a look at the feature race, the Australian Guineas Group 1 level for the three-year-olds. But as always, we look at a couple of key replays. Tagaloa draws the paint in the CSAs. I love his gate speed here, and I love his gallop out the first two furlongs. What happens is we've got a genuine speed, and he ends up just dragging back, sitting outside the lead. What I like about his gallop out here, he was challenged by Asar, three deep joined in, Terry Tortoni in the red colours, white cap, Dom de Shoot down the left-hand side there from near last. But look at his gallop out here, Tagaloa. So using that gate, sitting outside the lead, that's what you wanted to see. He's back bigger, better than ever. Draws a little bit mid-gate, but he's a big boy. He'll be suited. We'll have a look at the speed map after we chickity check out Zoo Dancer. This is a filly that's in red-hot form. She wins at the track and trip too. Hey, look. Similar profile, outside lead. But watch Jamie Carr just cuddle Zoo Dancer. And what we want to see here, because she hasn't ticked the box of a mile, can she run a genuine mile? But what she does have is the acceleration. She has gate speed to sit on speed. Watch the shake of the hands here at the 300. Bang! And she absolutely opens them up and spaces them. And she's very genuine, pins her ears back on her head. So she's in a great frame, this horse, and a great profile going into a mile, taking on the boys. But there's more pressure. She needs to take a nice sit, and she needs to use that acceleration to be looking a winning chance. So in saying all of that and looking at those replays, let's have a look at this speed map, shall we? And I love this gallop from the mile at Flemington, because there's always pressure. There's 130 metres to that first bend, and you've got to make up your decisions and your mind early if you're riding. Lofty Star, we know, will roll forward from an outside barrier. I'm expecting Zoo Dancer to jump, use the speed that she showed in that replay, early doors. Here to Shocks drawn lower, so doesn't need to use like it did in the CSAs. Poland, well, he'll just come back in behind with Asar. Tagaloa can jump, use Lofty Star, Zoo Dancer, and try and ride this pocket here. Three deep with a little bit of cover, Tagaloa would be perfect, or even facing the breeze. He's that style of horse that needs to get into a nice rhythm watching the CSAs. Then we have the cluster, one to two to three pairs back. Grand Slam will try and fit in behind Jet Propulsion, Tagaloa, who's following Zoo Dancer in here to Shock. Asar gets a beautiful run. Beltoro, Dom de Shoot, well, he's drawn inside now. Last start he drew out, went back negative. He was the eye catcher in the CSAs. Bring him up a little bit closer and get on the back of this good form. Zoo Dancer, Tagaloa, if you're riding Dom to Shoot. Camborne will sit back with a little bit of cover. It's our time also. Embolism's one at the mile. There's only three horses in this race that are one at the 1600 metres. He's one of them. Ole Kirk's the other one. And Cherry Tortoni is the third horse. They all get back and they'll be looking to pick apart a path. Cherry Tortoni, if he's three deep, four deep with cover and he's close enough, three lengths at the top of the straight with Ole Kirk, they'll power to the line. And that will be the fascinating setup. Mid-race, Australian Guineas, how much do they back it off for these on-speed runners that we know are genuine 1400 metre winners? How close were the mile horses that are guaranteed to run the mile be close enough at the 600 metre mark? Tempo is going to be key this year. It's a big field, it's a juicy field, and it's a jigsaw puzzle. Wally, who do you like?
Well, SD, I'll tell you what, looking at all that, Zoo Dancer hard to look past for me, but that was outstanding. Thank you, SD, as always. And I say it every week, that's why you watch the show. Another reason to watch the show is our man Julian Valance. And guess what? He's come to the table with a stinger.
That's the first time I've seen that. Pushed off the cliff by a horse. I'm sure it's not the only one that wants to do that. All right, very good. Well done, Willie, on setting it up. That's fantastic. So I'm happy with that one. All right, now, price is wrong. Now, there's a couple of horses that I think we can be taking a price about early doors. Going to start in one of the early races, Morvada. I think this is a horse that can sit outside lead on Saturday. Dry track, I think, especially around the circle, that's probably going to be an advantage with this southerly wind expected. You can get $12 at the moment. I've marked it around $7, $8 for Morvada. I expect it to shorten up. Senior jockey goes and replaces an apprentice. I think the market will trend towards Morvada at some stage. Star of the Seas, if you can get any around probably even $6 about this horse. This is a horse that in four Group 1s has ran second. Two in the George Main Stakes twice, I think, a Winx Stakes and a Doncaster or an Epsom, one of those. So very good form, only a kilo over the minimum, second up, comes to hand pretty quickly. I'm happy, Star of the Seas at the price. And Zoo Dancer in the Australian Guineas, as SD mentioned. Look, this is a horse that's just going really well. It's in a great shape at the moment. Look, no huge spoil, But I just think it might trend up, just firm up a little bit. That $5, I think, is a price. I'm happy to take that $5 price about Zoodancer. Conversely, here are some horses that I think are just too short at the moment from my 100% prices. So Skymax in the 2,000-metre race. Look, it was okay. It's going okay. I just couldn't get it anywhere near that price. So I expect it to drift a little bit. I can't get it that short. I Am Superman first up from a wide gate. Think it has to go back. Think the market will be against that horse. All Banter, absolutely going sensational, this horse. But now stepping up against some really good ones. Fabergino, another WA visitor, Indian Pacific. So I'm against it a little bit. Montessera, again, same race, three-year-old. Usually I really like the three-year-olds against the older horses. Just couldn't find this horse at all. Think it starts double figures. 50 Stars, don't really know where he's going. I reckon he's a run behind everyone in his prep at the moment, 50 Stars. I know he's won this race the last 2 years. I'm really worried about him going forward. And Best of Days in that race as well. I think you'll be able to get a better price. Just got away with Larceny. SD, what do you want to take me on with those ones there? Because you get your opportunity to have a crack here.
Oh, Julesy, I'm pretty keen on the three-year-old filly and the Bob Hoisted down the straight 1,000 metres. She ran 57.17 around that mark. That's quick. And I like to gallop out of Caulfield that last start. She'll handle a dry surface. All Banter for me. I'll have 100 on. I need to lift, though.
Tell you what you do, SD. Let's have a look now at how we're sitting. We're about 3 weeks in. Jules, SD went 150. He's been a little bit more conservative since then. So he's down 350. Yep. You as the bookie are up 350, but you're giving him $4.80 on All Banter.
I am.
Banter, as Justin Lang would say.
Would he?
He would. He would.
Big fan of the show.
Massive fan of the show.
AL.
He's a big Grubs fan too. All right, so we're gonna go with All Banter in Take Me On. We're going to take a break now ourselves, and then we're going to come back with the Wolf of Wally Street. There you go. It's time to go around the country and find some winners now. SD, we're going to start in Sydney with you at Randwick in race 4.
Yeah, I don't mind this horse, Crederis. 4.10, this horse. Second up here, $4.20, I think, Julesy, is a pretty good price for a horse that sits back and uses a wonderful turn of foot. 2 from 2 first up, I should say, this horse. I love the spring campaign where this horse was able to go from a benchmark 72 and then was third in the Villiers and just got beat by 0.5 of a length. A lot of upside. And this horse, I think he's well-placed. So his last 400, 200, and that turn of foot, I think you can use from gate 5. Rachel King will know exactly where the track's playing. She's riding an absolute treat.
She is.
Very, very, very good on the weekend. Julesy, race 8 for you?
Yeah, race 8, number 10, Great House. Only had a couple of starts in Australia, was at Flemington on debut, which was pretty good. Then they rushed it up to Sydney and half a second inside standard time. It was on a soft track. We spoke about it earlier that it's going to be a wet track up in Sydney, we think. So no issue there. And it was a pretty brutally run race. They came home last 400 fair, but I love the fact that they've had a bit of time here. They've given it at least a month off, and I think it'll be ready to go again. Tick over trial in between. I'm pretty keen on Great House.
There you go. We'll go up to Queensland. Sunshine Coast, SD.
Yeah, let's go to the Sunshine Coast. Musical Genius here, looking for a price. Race 6, number 7. We're getting that at $8. Team Edmonds, Joe Pride was training this horse, and now Johnny Schmerton trains this horse. First up for him. Flies first up, loves 1,000 metres, and the benchmark 80 really suits. Just missed behind Tullio, the favourite in this race. Gets 5 kilos on that horse last time they met. So perfect conditions here for this horse at a price. 6.7, Musical Genius.
1,000 metres, benchmark right, first up. Weight swing, tick. Don't know why it's $8, SD. That sounds too good to be true. Julesy, what have you got up there?
Well, I'm surprised you were listening. Race 8, number 13, Wapita. This is a horse that went to the Gold Coast and ran pretty well behind Paradis. Now, we know that the Gold Coast form can be tricky because it's all their grand finals, but Paradis came back last week, obviously, in Melbourne and won the race. Had a bit of time off here and down on the minimum. I think Brisbane might be a little bit wet as well, so just keep an eye on the weather up in Brisbane, because if this track does become wet, this will really suit this horse. Down on the min and the fact that its peak figures are on a wet track, I'm happy to play with it.
Very, very good. And, SD, you got two at Murray Bridge in Adelaide.
Love Murray Bridge as a racetrack, and there's a lot of confidence as a punter there when you're following a good horse. And I think Crown Mint is a good horse in the making. 340 you're going to get. He's not favourite. First up, he was checked at the start. He's a big boy and just got galloping in the wrong position. Didn't suit him. Had no rhythm whatsoever. So, and the leaders absolutely dominated that 6-furlong race. So I like him second up, 1,400 metres. He was fourth to Crosshaven, just beaten in a listed race at Flemington when he was second up last preparation. That's good enough form here. And he draws 5 in a small field and he can be nice and handy. Skilled Bunch is another horse that I've... it's 3 wide, no cover favourite. Skilled Bunch first up, won Murray Bridge 1,300 metre last start and then went on to win a 1,400 metre gallop at Murray Bridge. You pick up what I'm putting down, first up Murray Bridge. Yeah.
Julesy, race 9.
Yeah, race 9, number 15, Worsfield. It's only had a couple of starts. Very good on debut at Strathalbyn, then went, had a bit of time off, and was sort of only playing when it was a short price favourite at its second start. Quick 7-day backup, which we absolutely love. I think it's going to be really hard to beat. I reckon it's an acceleration horse, so it drops down in weight. These acceleration horses, when they get down in weight, are mighty hard to beat, so I'm keen with Worsfold there. Wally.
Woosha. I know you like your Omen best. Julesy, not for me. I prefer to do the form SD. Julesy loves them, though. Ascot, Julesy, who you got?
Absolute clown. Race 7, number 1, Saleya. We're with her last start. She won. She beat the boys. Now she goes against the fillies here. She's a ripper. She'll be on speed. Her last 400, I don't say this too often, 22-2-1, 11-11. Very, very good. That was the last 400, 200 was better than anything else on the day by around a quarter of a second. I expect her to roll forward again and be mighty hard to beat on Saturday. Saleya.
All right, there we are. You can see them there. Randwick, 8-10. Sunshine Coast, 8-13. Murray Bridge, 9-15. And Ascot, 7-1. They're Julesy, your numbers. SD, your Randwick, 4-10. And the others there, which have just...
He loves that. Yeah, off the screen, yeah, so he's gone.
Thank you for that, guys. There you go.
No auto cue, he's in all sorts. No.
One bet of the day. SD?
Buffalo River, Flemington for me.
And Julesy?
Great question. Absolutely great question. No idea. I'm going to say Star of the Seas.
Oh.
Oh, same race.
Same race. That's love that. There you go. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, of course, we've got your quaddy. All right, welcome back. It's time for the quaddy now. SD, you're our man. How are we looking?
Yeah. It's going to be very easy this week, as it always is. Julesy, of course, race 6 is the Blamey Stakes, and we're just taking 2 horses, Star of the Seas. Julesy's best for the weekend, my best, Buffalo River.
Ooh.
Let's go to race 7, shall we? The Guineas is the feature. Ole Kirk, Tagaloa. We're going to go Acer. We're going to go Dom to shoot from that good draw, and also Zoo Dancer. Happy?
Very happy about that one.
Thanks for playing along. Race 8, the English Dash open race. Yeah, but we haven't gone deep here. We've gone 2, the Bopper. And then we've gone Rocketing By, also Bella Nipotina and Celestine down the bottom there.
Yep.
Okay, last leg. Let's have a look at the 1,400 metre group 3, fillies and males away. Shout the Bar we're having, Graceful Glamour. And then we've got Snap Dancer and Shiloh.
We've added an extra one in that first leg because it was too skinny there, but that will still get you 41.67%. And make sure this Saturday, check out Insider Trading. It's on racing.com. It's on KO. It's everywhere. Thanks for watching. Gamble responsibly. See you next week.